Let's pray. God, we ask that you would open our hearts, our minds, to hear you, to truly hear your spirit within us, and that you would speak to us and direct us, Lord, in our lives, how we might best serve you. Amen. The scripture reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. It's Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. I was thinking about this passage this week as we just passed the 19 years since 9/11, and it's, I think, a difficult passage. When I was serving two churches up in Pennsylvania, we had comment cards, and occasionally people would put notes down of things that they wanted me to preach on. Sometimes it felt a little like, how do we stump Pastor Meg? I think it actually genuinely was things they wanted to hear. But one of the things they had asked this is several years back now, but for me to preach on was forgiveness and loving our enemies. And I think this is a very challenging passage, but I think it is important. I think it's something that all of us struggle with, especially as we see conflict in this world. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. How can we love our enemies? How can we pray for those who persecute us? I was given an assignment in college for an English class to write a credo, a brief statement of what I believe, and it was our first assignment that was due that fall. I struggled with it quite a bit, because how do you summarize everything you believe into one page? Kind of hard to do. And I also wanted to be creative and not just list, I believe this and I believe this. So I just chose one specific part of what I believe, and I sat down on September 10th, 2001, and wrote up my credo, which was due the next day. Then 9/11 happened. In between classes, my sister and I had gone to the cafeteria to wait for our next class, and they had a TV up there, and we were watching it and saw the second plane strike the World Trade Center. Our dad was in the Navy and scheduled to fly out to a military base that morning in Virginia. And we had already said our goodbyes to him, and part of what's going through our heads is, how is this going to impact our country? At first, they weren't even sure what had happened, of course, and who had done this, and if it was an accident or on purpose. And our next thought was also, how was it going to impact our family? You know, and was he going to have to fly out not to Virginia, but to somewhere else in the world potentially? So we were desperate and anxious to get home. We made a quick call, and I passed my paper off to the first teacher that I saw that I knew and asked if she could get it to my teacher for my English class, because I told her we had to get home. And she very kindly took the paper from me and saw that my other teacher got it. And I think I was the only student that managed to turn in my assignment that day, because ultimately all the classes would be canceled. But the reason I'm telling you this story is because of what I had written down in my credo. And it's been quite a while since I've read it, and it brings back a lot of memories. But I really believe that God was speaking to me in that assignment, reminding me that what I wrote and believed when things seemed simpler still remain true when things are hard. And what was true on September 10th still remained true on September 11th. And I'm going to share this with you and then reflect more on the scripture. I titled it Through the Smoke. Deep in the thick black smog, is there? There must be. Somewhere amidst all that evil, there must still be the spark of humanity, of love. I'm sure that God gifted them with that spark just the same as everyone else. The potential for being something greater than a mere animal. An ember must still glow there, alone and forgotten. The soul of the person they never became. Or has the smoke smothered it? Gone before it had the chance to burn? If it does still linger there, it must lie gasping and out of breath. How can I love them or even forgive them? It's hard sometimes to love. It's much easier to hate or just ignore. You don't hurt as much that way. Some people simply can't be thought of as human. They have given over to their base animal instincts or to something even darker and more sinister. They have chosen. They are human no longer. Or are they? When I'm hurt, the fight or flight instinct tries to take over. I hate them. All I see is black smoke because that is all I look for in them. I want to fuel my hate because I hate in order to punish them for my hurt. They don't care. That's what galls me. And I punish no one more than myself. The smog begins to dim the fire from my own soul. To forgive is divine, but we are caught in the middle, greater than the animals and far inferior to God. So I try to look through their smog. Without God, I'm no different than them. If I can believe that somewhere deep in the midst of that black, acrid smoke is the evidence of what was or what could have been, well, then perhaps I can forgive them. I'll try to focus in on that light. And besides, maybe that fire could still be. I wonder if the disciples, after they had heard Jesus speak these words of forgiveness, of loving your enemy, would think back in the days to come. If they would think about his command to love your enemies as they watched him be beaten and crucified. If they thought of his command to pray for those who persecute you when he hung on the cross and prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These are not easy commands to keep. They are beautiful concepts, but when the rubber meets the road, they are not easy to live out. So how can we love our enemies? The most important thing that we can do is to follow Jesus' example. Jesus doesn't just speak these words to sound good. He actually lives them out. Jesus actually loves, prays, and forgives, even those who are the most cruel to him. Jesus shows us exactly what this looks like, what it means to love. That's the first thing we need to remember. In order to learn to love our enemies, we need to recognize God's sacrificial love and the example which he sets, that he created people in his image. the second thing we need to keep in mind is recognizing we are all human. God created people in his image, and though we've distorted and ignored that image, and some people's hearts are so corrupted, it is hard to see that image there any longer. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We are all sinners, and yet God loves us anyway. Here in this passage in Matthew 5, Jesus gives us the example of God giving to everyone, regardless of who they are, providing the world with sunshine and rain. We're all sinful, we've all strayed, and yet God loves us all just the same. We need to recognize the humanity, even of our enemies, even those who we are in disagreement with, and recognize our own sinfulness. It's also important to remember that part of love and forgiveness is seeking to right wrongs, to correct injustices, and to stop sinful behavior. Loving our enemies doesn't mean allowing them to continue to do wrong. Sin harms those who commit it, as well as the people around them. Part of loving our enemies and loving our neighbor is getting them to stop doing wrong, to stop hurting themselves and others. Jesus was very direct with people about their sins. When a woman is brought to him who had committed adultery, he forgives her. He saves her from death, but he also commands her, "Go and from now on sin no more." I read a remark in a book, and they wrote, "Don't fight fire with fire," Jesus says. "Rather, fight fire with water, and thereby refuse to take part in the incendiary, all too familiar work of injury and domination." It's not hard to love those who are like us. It's not hard to love those who love us. It is much harder to love those who are different than us, and even those who are our enemies. But Jesus tells us we should strive to be perfect as God is perfect, loving others as God loves us and them. Remember our common humanity, and remember the example that Jesus has set for us. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, there is a lot of division in this world, a lot of fingers pointing and anger, a lot of hate. And yet, God, you gave up everything to reconcile us to you. Help us to remember that you were willing to die for us and to die for them also. Help us, Lord, to remember our common humanity and to reach out in love and care even to those who injure us. Even as we seek to stop the injuries from happening. God, we ask that you would help us as Christians to speak your truth in love as the Bible commands to us, and to extend your grace to the world. Amen.